Let's now turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and also in the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 1. Romans chapter 14, and that's found on page 1102, Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. Romans chapter 14. And this particular passage, this reading from Romans 14, corresponds to our final point, which is our stirring comfort. The comfort that we have in belonging to Christ is a comfort that changes us. It changes who we are. It changes also how we live and who we live for. So Romans chapter 14, we're going to be reading verses 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Then let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals. I encourage you, if you can, to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at these texts from 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans 14. But first, let's read from Lord's Day 1. As I said, we're starting again our series on the Catechism. Lord's Day 1, that's page 8. The Catechism opens by asking, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is this: that I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And the second question says, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? The answer is three things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sin and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter again into this series looking at the Catechism, once again we come face to face with this need, with this pressing want that we all have, and that's for comfort. Comfort is the pressing need of all mankind, and although not everyone recognizes it or sees it, the vast majority of things that we do in the day-to-day basis is in the pursuit of comfort, to find peace, to find reason. Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Why do things happen as they do? What's the meaning? It's in this pursuit of comfort, of meaning, that we ask ourselves the question, where do we go to find our comfort? What gives us solace? In what things do we find our well-being or our rest? Well, everyone in our world seeks comfort in various things, because without comfort, as we will see, we will be paralyzed. Without a measure of security, we will be unable to move, unable to proceed. Well, as we start our series on what is sometimes called the Book of Comfort, looking at the Catechism question and answer one in particular, we're going to see that as we look at question and answer one, the scriptures are being systematized for us. There are various verses that are brought to the fore that basically what we read in Lord's Day 1 is what the Bible has to say concerning where we find our comfort. But this is much more than just a systematized theological discussion. The question and answers are personal and pointed. So if I were to speak to every one of you on the way out the door this afternoon or this evening, to ask you individually, what is your comfort? Where do you find your comfort? This is a question that we each must answer. But it's also our corporate answer. This is our corporate, the church's confession. This is what the church says. This is where the church, the bride of Christ, finds her lasting comfort. So today we see this theme that Jesus Christ brings lasting comfort. Jesus Christ brings lasting comfort. We start then by looking at how the Bible reveals your only true comfort. Why does the Catechism start by saying, what is your only comfort? Where do you look for peace and pleasure? How does the Bible, or how is Jesus Christ presented as a unique source of comfort? Well, let's start with looking at our need for comfort. Why does the Catechism, the unspoken truth behind the question, is that we need comfort. Why do we need comfort? Well, all you need to do is look around us and you will find the presence of uncomfort, or that there are many things that make us uncomfortable. When we look around us, we see pain, we see fear, we see dread, anxiety. What are the sources of this uncomfort? What makes us uncomfortable? What is this pain and fear? What's the face of this? Well, there is a threatening evil, an overwhelming grief that is present in this life. First of all, we could say it's the uncertainty. Children, what are you the most afraid of? What fills you with fear? Well, there is a specific reason why most people are afraid of the dark. Because you can't see. When the light is present, you can see clearly. You have no fear because you know what's in front of you. But when it's dark, there is this uncertainty, this unease. What don't I see? It's the uncertainty that brings anxiety. And the truth is for older people as well. The uncertainty, what's going to happen down the road? And we also have the anxiety linked to our sins. We know that there is something wrong with this world. Indeed, there's something wrong with us. We are not at peace with God. Added to that, we have the devil. The devil who is that roaring lion, the father of lies, the deceiver who is prowling, looking for ones whom he can consume. And finally, we have our death. The mortality rate of humanity. Death is present, and it's pressing. 70, maybe 80 years, that's the average. When you see the death of loved ones, you see the effects of disease, cancer. These things fill human man's heart with anxiety. So as humanity as a whole, consider these things. We have this sense of fear, this troubled soul because of impending danger. Something is desperately wrong. But the answer that our world gives to these sources of pain and anxiety and fear and uncertainty, the answers that our world gives are fleshly. The worldly solutions to the uncomfort, to the anxiety, are simply a pandering to the flesh. Passing pleasures that wear off and don't really deal with the heart of the issue. What's really bothering mankind isn't dealt with. Comfort found in reducing physical pain doesn't deal with your death. And simply distracting yourself doesn't deal with sin. Just for example, when I think of the word comfort and our worldly approach to comfort, the thing that comes to my mind, maybe that's because I'm a guy, but I think of comfort food. What is comfort food? Comfort food is the bag of chips. It's the box of cookies. It's the tub of ice cream. Comfort food. What does comfort food have to do with eternity? I mean, if you are uncomfortable, if you're sad, you dive into something which is called comfort food, but then when that comfort food is gone, you are more uncomfortable than when you started. It hasn't dealt with the issue at all. Or another way that our world deals with the anxiety or fear is that we amass possessions. Can a man give his boat or his car or his house in exchange for his soul? Can possessions postpone death? That's why our question and answer starts with this unspoken question, dealing with this humanity's failure to provide a source of lasting comfort. The unspoken rule that this is reflecting is that we need comfort, and the worldly solutions don't give us real, lasting, permanent comfort that deals with the heart of the issue. So in saying what is your only comfort, this word only speaks to the fact something that is true, something that is permanent, something that is lasting, something that is perfect. What deals with your deepest issue? What is your only lasting comfort when you see the fact that our world is literally ripping itself apart? When your human flesh is dying, you are born hostile, not only to fellow man, but hostile, at odds, at war with God. What's going to deal with sin and Satan, the uncertainties of this world, and death? Those are your pressing questions. So the only source of comfort, the only answer to that question, is found in this: that you are not your own, but that you belong to Jesus Christ. Listen again to the words of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Now, let's turn back there to read that, because this is really the whole answer to the question. The whole answer to this question is really built on this, on these verses. Looking at this is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, the last part there. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. First part of the answer is that you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Second part of the answer is that you've been purchased by someone, and the someone who purchased you was Jesus Christ. You belong to him because he has paid for you. 1 Corinthians 3:23 says this: you are Christ's. Belonging to Christ is an exclusive truth. If you belong to Christ, you don't belong to anyone else. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to him. It's exclusive. And in being possessed, purchased by Jesus Christ, it means that he now owns you. Peter says that you have been paid for with precious blood. Blood that is worth more than all the gold and silver of this world. Precious blood. Being owned means that he has the right of ownership over you. You are joined to him by faith, one, united, ransomed and redeemed. This comfort in belonging to Jesus Christ is unique because it is the only comfort that deals with those uncertainties. Very briefly, look at those uncertainties again. The uncertainties of life. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what's hiding in the dark. You don't know what's happening outside of your control. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, then look again at your question and answer. Then not a hair can fall from your head. Nothing can happen to you outside of the will of your Heavenly Father. So that deals with the uncertainties of life. What about sin? Well, belonging to Jesus Christ means that your sins have been paid for. The wrath, the just judgment of God, which stands over and above, looming large in the presence of your sin, has been satisfied. The debt has been paid in full. So your sin has been dealt with. And about death? What happens with your death? Belonging to Jesus Christ means that your death has been undone. That Jesus can say with a straight face, those who believe in me will not die, but they will live. The spiritual death which entered this world, the spiritual consequence of the curse, has been undone by Christ, so that when we are born again, we are literally living. We are spiritually raised, resurrected, and when Christ comes back, he will deal with our physical death as well. So man's deepest needs find their only comforting answer in belonging to Jesus Christ. Delivered from death's bondage, Satan himself crushed under the foot of the perfect man. Yet the comfort that Christ gives us is not only comfort in the presence of these uncertainties and anxieties of our soul, it is also a complete comfort. Complete because it affects all of our being, every aspect of us. The Catechism says that I belong, body and soul. Well, what makes up humanity? What are the components of human nature? Well, we have a body, flesh and blood, physical self, and we have a spirit or a soul. And because of Adam's rebellion in the garden, both our body and our soul was affected, plunged into the bondage of sin on its way to death. And when Jesus Christ took on our body and soul, as we saw last week looking at the Athanasian Creed, that he became the God-man, fully man, one with us in every way, like us, his brothers. That aspect of his purchasing power of the redemption, his work on the cross, now applies to our body and soul. It is a comprehensive comfort. To say this another way, there is no part of your humanity that was not embraced in his redemption. Every aspect of your human body and soul now belongs to him and will be raised that last day. Every aspect of our being enters into this rest and experiences this comfort that Christ has purchased. But not only is it a comprehensive comfort, it is an enduring comfort. Once it is received, it cannot be lost and will never be undone, because we belong to him in life and in death. What are the, you know, as the first part of this answer, this point dealt with the comprehensive body and soul, there's nothing left out. Well, let's look at the life span, the frame, time frame that we all deal with. Once we're born, we live, and then we die. So what part of our life is left out? It is not only comprehensive, but it is enduring. Listen to what Romans 8:38 says. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Not principality, not power. There is no government. There is no accident. Not even death. Not even the angels can separate us from the love of God, the comfort that is ours because we belong to Jesus Christ. It applies to us when we are healthy, when we are sick, when we are born, and when we die. When we are rich, when we are poor, when we are young, and when we are old. Now, as a pastor, I have the unique privilege of visiting members of our congregation who are in the sunset years of their life. And one of the things that I love to do is I love to talk about their comfort. And you know that when I visit some of the saints, late 80s, early 90s sometimes, and I talk about the catechism, and I talk about now, and I say, well, do you have comfort? What is your lasting comfort? What's your only comfort? And wouldn't you know that those question and answers, that those catechism teachers drilled into the heads of these students when they were maybe the age of you children? What is your only comfort in life and in death? They don't know what day of the week it is. They don't even know what year it is. But they know where their comfort is. That they belong to Jesus Christ. There is a comfort that is so simple, an 8-year-old can memorize it, and so profound that an 80-year-old can meditate upon it. And I'm not my own. I can still remember it. I belong to Jesus Christ. So this comfort is comprehensive and enduring. And it's enduring because he is faithful. We belong to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithful. His faithfulness is what ensures that it is a comfort that cannot be taken away. The one who watches over us never sleeps and never slumbers. Nothing can undo what he has done. Nothing can happen to me apart from what will be for my benefit. Nothing happens by chance. We're going to look at that in roughly 2 months from now, looking at the providence of God, that all things happen to us come to us from his loving hand. Not a hair can fall from a head. Not a storm can rage. Not a volcano can burst apart from his good purposes for the good of his people. And we are also sealed, marked for redemption. Our catechism question answer 1, the last paragraph starts, because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of my eternal life. We by the Holy Spirit are sealed, marked for redemption. The Holy Spirit has been pressed upon us as a mark is pressed into hot wax. He is the guarantee of our future possession. Because Christ dwells within us, making us temples of the living God, we have the certainty, the knowledge that there is a better possession that is kept in heaven for us, a guarantee of what is to come. We've been signed and sealed, ready for what is to come. We have a peace that is enduring because of what Christ has done. He's paid for our sins. We have a comfort that lasts because of what Christ is doing, interceding for us and working all things for our good. And we have a comfort because of what Christ will do, where he will raise us up on that last final day and bring us into his eternal glory. But as we come to our final point, we find that right understanding leads to right action. That orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy. What you believe affects what you do. How does this comfort living and dying in the comfort of belonging to Christ, how does that change your daily life? How does that have an effect on us? Does it change us at all? Or is it, you know, just kind of something we keep in our pocket and we don't really benefit from at all until we die? Well, consider the opposite. Consider what your state would be if you did not have this comfort. If you do not have this comfort, and I know whenever I talk with my wife, Allison, we talk about how do the unbelievers deal with a cancer prognosis? How do they deal with the death of a loved one? What gets them through? I don't know. Praise God, I don't ever have to go through that. I don't ever have to be in a position where I don't know that God is in control and that I'm in the hands of a loving Father. Praise God, you don't have to go through that. That you have a comfort that applies to you at every moment of every day. Because without this comfort, we would be frozen in fear. At least I would. I'd be frozen in fear and anxiety. I wouldn't, for what could happen, what might happen, the unknown of not knowing that my sins have been dealt with, not knowing that my death has been turned into life, fearful of that roaring, prowling lion who might be right outside my door, literally or spiritually. The comfort that we have is a comfort that frees us and a comfort that motivates us. Because as question and answer one concludes, not only do we have the benefits and blessings of Jesus Christ, our elder brother, God the Father working all things for our good, and God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and assuring us, we also by the Holy Spirit are made wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. And that's why we sang earlier, living for Jesus. Wholeheartedly ready and willing to live for Him. And here's where we read earlier from Romans chapter 14. If you'd like to turn back to that, Romans chapter 14, where we find these words. Romans 14, verse 8. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So we live. We are called to live for the Lord. Living for Jesus means that our lives take a different focus. I'm not living for myself because I don't belong to myself. I'm not living for the world because I don't belong to the world. I'm not living for the under the cruel tyranny of the devil because I don't belong to the devil. Or who do you belong to? Well, I am a citizen in the kingdom of Christ. And being a citizen in the kingdom of Christ means that I receive my marching orders from my commanding officer, and I seek to please him. I live for him. None of us lives for ourselves. Living for Jesus, because we belong to Jesus, means that we will be stirred into action. Stirred into action means that the law of God has been so impressed upon our heart that it flows freely from us. As you know, James says that the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Well, as Christians, we have a new heart. We have a heart of flesh, a born-again, regenerated heart that flows forth, that's made evident in what we say. Our lives, we're enabled, we're given the ability to live, to walk in such a way that brings glory to our God. So we have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities, we use them. We diligently use every moment of our lives for the praise of His glory. Everything you have, body and soul, every possession you have, every breath you have, has been purchased by Jesus Christ. There is not one moment, there is not one breath, not one one iota of your life that Christ does not say, mine. You belong to him, every aspect of your being. That's a good reminder for our children. Children, that's not just a childish thing. It's something we all do. We compartmentalize our lives. This part belongs to God. I'll dedicate that to him. I'll give him Sundays, the rest of the week. Or we see a sharp line between the secular and the sacred. But Christ says, your life, everything you do, belongs to me. What you do tomorrow morning is part of living for Jesus. Whether that's in planting crops or in teaching classes or in laying bricks, whatever you do belongs to him. It is part of your thankful response because you've been purchased, body and soul. If you live, you live for Christ. And if you die, you die unto him. You die for him. You die to him. You die to be brought into his presence. So we are moved by gratitude. This very briefly, the second question and answer says, what do you need to know to live and die? To live and die in the joy of this comfort? What do you need to have Christian joy? A joy that's evident in your life. Well, you need to know three things. Know your sin. Know how Christ saves you, and know that Christ now calls you to offer your life as a living sacrifice of praise. That's what is necessary to live and die in the joy of this comfort. To conclude, the comfort of belonging is one of the principal blessings of a Christian. We can meditate long on the blessings that we have, blessings that our world so desperately needs. Good news that we have, that our world so desperately needs to hear. I mean, we all enjoy the blessings of belonging to a family, but you belong to a heavenly family. You have a house, a mansion, a home in glory. This is a comfort that lasts, can be undone, applies to every part of your being. And it is a comfort that enables you to offer your life as a living sacrifice of praise. So if you can say this, my only comfort in life and in death is that I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. If you can say that with a heart of faith, then you will go into this next week with a renewed sense of focus that your life has been purchased, that you belong, and you will live for the praise of his glory. Thus, in these things, confession and obedience, truth and action go hand in hand. Let's all rejoice in the great blessings that are ours, that Christ has come to purchase us, to give us peace, to give us a lasting comfort, a comfort of belonging that is eternal. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this great truth that you have here revealed to us, that you have reminded us that we belong to your Son, that we have been placed into the hands of Jesus Christ, that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that your Spirit remains within us, making us temples, houses of you are God. O Lord, stir our hearts again this day that we would remember throughout this next week that we are not our own. We're not living for ourselves. We're not living for this world. But that we're living for you, to bring you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.